Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Well, for those of you who don't know me, I have 5 children. And I did not think that that was going to be the defining characteristic of my life, but at this point in my life, it is. They range from ages of 1 to 11, and they are wonderful. They are very active kids and wonderful children, wonderful. And did I mention they were wonderful? Also, they're messy. They're very messy. And I'm a terrible housekeeper. In fact, when Philip got on his knee to propose to me, he literally got down on his knee, and I said, "Oh my gosh," and he said, "Destiny, will you marry me?" And instead of saying yes immediately, as, by the way, you should do, but that's just a side, maybe it'll help somebody in the future, but Callie, I'm looking at you. Anyway, just saying, you should say that, but I did not. Instead, what I said was, "Are you sure? I'm a really terrible roommate, and I'm very messy." And he said, "Yes, I'm sure." And I said, "Yes." Anyway, but it's true. I'm not like the greatest housekeeper. Anybody who's been to my house knows that, because I cleaned up and you felt like I didn't. And so if I'm a terrible housekeeper and I have 5 children, can you know what my house is? It's messy. It's messy. It's lived in. And so I got kind of tired of saying clean up. Clean up, right? Because clean is such a finished word, right? It's such a finished word. Like, have you ever just cleaned the kitchen and then someone asked for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? And you're like, "I love you with all of my heart. I would do anything for you, but I'm not going to make you that sandwich," right? Like, that's how you feel. You're like, "I would do anything for you, but also no, I'm not doing that." Why? Because you just cleaned it up, right? And it feels finished. And you're like, I want it to be clean. I want it to stay in that like state of being clean. And so that's why we changed the word at my house. We don't say clean up anymore. We say reset. We really do. If you haven't been here, the name of our series of talks that we've been doing is also called Reset. So that's how this ties in nicely. But we use the word reset. And the reason we use the word reset is because I heard somebody using this like at one of those play areas, and these people were going around and they were cleaning frantically. And I said, "What are you doing?" And they said, "We're resetting." And it dawned on me. See, words matter. Words shape culture. Words shape expectations. When you reset a room, what are you doing? You're getting it ready to be used again. You're getting it ready for life to happen again. You're just getting it ready for the next thing again. So instead of telling my kids, "Hey, let's clean up the living room," right? Because then that's going to be done and nobody plays in the living room because it's clean. I just say, "Hey, let's reset it," so that we can get ready for the next adventure with Legos. By the way, can we just talk about it, about how bad Legos hurt on bare feet? Why do they do that? I mean, I swear, we don't even have that many of them, but when I go to get a bottle at 3 a.m. and I'm walking through our living room, they hide and they jump out and attack my feet. Anybody feel me? It's like, what in the world? They're like, "Ah, proof you're a terrible housekeeper. That's great." Reset. You know, it's funny though how words can create these weird things in our life. Because growing up in the South, and we hear about getting saved, and you can start to think that getting saved, coming to Jesus, is about getting a one-time get-out-of-jail-free card. A one-time get-out-of-hell-free card, right? Like, it's like, I come to Jesus, and I get all cleaned up, but if I mess up again, what happens then? And instead, I wish that we would understand that what we're doing is that we're choosing to journey with Jesus, and that He's going to change our life from the inside out. But He's not going to do it from afar. He's going to do it from this close. Step by step, day by day. And as we follow Him, there's going to be moments along the way where we have to reset. Why? because we're not called to be out of this world and critical of it, but we're called to be in this world, but not of it. We're called literally to live out a different story than everyone around us is living out. We're called to play a different game than everyone else around us is playing. We're called to make decisions based on factors that people around us can't even see. We're called to be different. But if you want to walk that journey, you're going to come to moments where you need to reset because you've gotten knocked off your path. You've gotten knocked off mission because stuff happens, doesn't it? We wake up in the morning. Today's gonna be a great day. I'm gonna make it a great day. And we spill coffee everywhere. The child throws up on your last pair of clean jeans. Just describing my Thursdays. But stuff happens. Serious stuff happens. People we counted on walked out. Accidents happen. Sickness happens. Just the utter being around the stuff happens. You know what I'm talking about? And you just are, how? Why do I feel so? It's because we need a reset. It's because we need a reset. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible talks about how we have to fix our eyes on Jesus so that we can run the race that is set before us. We have to fix our eyes on Jesus. And that means that we constantly have to reset our story. All of culture is trying to convince you that your story is what matters the most. And just your story. Just your story. Just your lifetime. Just your happiness. Just your fulfillment. Just your significance. Just your wealth. Just you. But we live in a different story. We live for a different kingdom. We're underneath a different king. And what matters most is his story. And his story just is different. His story is eternal. It's eternal. That's what we really believe. We really believe as Christians that we are headed towards eternity, that we are eternal beings created by God to live in eternity with him. His story is eternal. His story is generational. See, God doesn't just look at your life. He looks at the generations. Your place in the chain matters, but it's a really long story. It's a story that's been going on for a very long time. But he's also a God whose story is so ever-present. But what story are you living in? What story are you living in? Are you allowing reset to happen? There's a passage that just was on my mind as I prepared, and I was so excited about it. It's Deuteronomy 11. And my little piece of paper fell out because that's what happens. Oh, there it is. It just was hiding. There's my piece of paper. All right, Deuteronomy 11. And I thought about this next gen day, but I also just thought about you and the story that we have together. And this is what it says. You must love the Lord your God and always obey his requirements, decrees, regulations, and commands. Keep in mind that I am not talking now to your children who have never experienced the discipline of the Lord your God or seen his greatness and his strong hand and powerful arm. Hear this. They didn't see the miraculous signs and wonders he performed in Egypt against Pharaoh and all his land. They didn't see what the Lord did to the armies of Egypt and to their horses and chariots, how he drowned them in the Red Sea as they were chasing you. He destroyed them, and they have not recovered to this very day. Your children didn't see how the Lord cared for you in the wilderness until you arrived here. And I'm going to skip down to verse 7. It says, but you have seen the Lord perform all these mighty deeds with your own eyes. Just for time's sake, I'm going to skip down to verse 18, but I really encourage you to read this whole chapter later, because you are allowed to read the Bible outside of church, just in case you needed permission. All right, verse 18. So commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these words of mine. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates, so that as long as the sky remains above the earth, you and your children may flourish in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. Now, let me give you just a little bit of context. This is out of the Hebrew scriptures. And this is something that is being told to the children of Israel, who were God's chosen people. And what God had done for these people was beyond comprehension. He had brought a group of slaves out of slavery and had made them conquerors. He had brought people who had nothing to give, and he had made them his own. He had done miraculous things. He had sent plagues to set them free. He had divided the Red Sea. He had done all of these miracles. And so they're being told to follow the law of God. But what I love is he says, I'm not talking to your kids now. I'm not talking about your kids. I'm not talking about whether the next generation is living up to those standards. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about you. And I'm talking about you because you are responsible for your story. You're responsible for your story. You're responsible for passing the story of Jesus to the next generation. And before you just go, oh, this is another one of those messages that's tuned to people who have young kids. Absolutely not. This was a community message, because we as a community are responsible for the community's kids. We are responsible for the next generation forever. We never grow out of being responsible for the next generation. We're never too young to be responsible for the next generation. I love watching my kids get to serve in Kids Church, because they understand that they are responsible for the next generation because of the way we have it set up. Third and fourth and fifth graders are part of this leadership group called Dream Team, and they help to teach the younger kids. And then you have these middle schoolers and high schoolers who are giving their time to serve in babies and to serve and help teach our K-4 and our K-5. Why? Because they understand that already they are responsible to teach the story to the next generation, because if we don't teach them the story, they will never know. See, the stories shape our lives. They shape our identities. They give us courage when we need it. They remind us that the generation that went before has done great things, that God has done great things through them, that God was faithful, that God showed up, that God delivers, that God saves. And when I hear those stories, it does something for me. I grew up around those kinds of stories. I grew up hearing the stories of our family. I'm so blessed. I have a family legacy, but I get to hear about the beginning. I grew up hearing the story of a great-grandmother that I never met, who was a bootlegger in South Louisiana, who trapped animals in the bayous so that she could feed her 13 kids, who was living in abject poverty, both materially and in her soul. I grew up on the story of how she was diagnosed with incurable cancer and out of desperation said yes to an invitation to church, an invitation that had been offered literally for years and had been rejected by my great-grandmother with violence sometimes. She was a salty broad. I grew up with the story of how she showed up at a meeting and was saved, and filled with the Holy Spirit, and healed, and how it changed the whole trajectory of our family, and how her story has literally been told around the globe by her children and her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren. Why? Because your story will travel farther than you ever will. I grew up on stories of how precious it was to get to build the kingdom of God. My grandfather was an evangelist, an itinerant evangelist, and he and my grandmother, and my grandmother actually is here today. Can you guys give her a hand? I was thinking about it, Grammy, and I realized that you've been in the ministry for over 70 years. And I say been in the ministry because she's more active in the ministry now than I think ever. She always tells me she's going to visit the old people. But I grew up on stories of how she and my grandfather would be on the road, and they weren't paid enough sometimes for everybody in the car to eat. And they had my dad in the back seat, and so they would feed him a hamburger and the two of them would fast till they got to the next town just for the privilege of preaching the gospel. I grew up treasuring the kingdom of God. I grew up on stories of missionaries like Lottie Moon and Amy Carmichael, women who in a time where women really honestly weren't respected in a lot of society gave their whole lives on the foreign field to see God's name lifted up, to rescue little boys and girls from slavery in Hindu temples, to establish centers where people got food and clothing in rural China. I grew up on the bravery of those women. And sometimes when I enter my own storms, I can hear those stories saying, be brave. God showed up for me. He'll show up for you too. God empowered my mission. Your mission isn't too hard. I believed that the best is yet to come, and he never disappointed me. I grew up on the stories because somebody took the time to tell me the story. There's a song, because I grew up on the hymnal, you know? Anybody know what a hymnal is? It's for those of you who don't, it's a book of songs. All right. And grew up on the hymnal. One of my favorites was, tell me the stories of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the stories most precious, sweetest that I've ever heard. The stories of Jesus are what changed the world. I think sometimes we're looking for pithy things to say when no one asked you what you thought. But they need to hear your story. They need to hear your story. It's crazy. Do you have those days where everything aligns and it's just weird? This service feels that way to me. Because we have these incredible babies who, how in the world she's not crying, I really just don't understand. You're amazing. But, you know, you have these babies who are being dedicated in this beautiful picture of generations, right? So beautiful. and how it takes when you, I mean, when you have kids, suddenly you realize you've got to, if you don't have a village, you better create a village. My grandmother, when she moved to this town, had no village. So she just started grabbing people and making a village. It was like, you are going to be an aunt to my son. Start making a village. That's what the church is. The church is our tribe. It is our community. It is who we build together. We love together. Do you hear me? And this service is so strange because my grandmother came, and then I looked in the back, and one of the pastors in this area who served over 50 years is here. Reverend Dunn and his wife are here. Can we give them a hand? This is the thing. They've known me since before I existed, but that has nothing to do with this. You may say, I don't know them. I don't think you need to know anything else about them other than that they pastored for 50 years and that they're still holding services for those around them in their community. I sometimes wonder if I can get to 10. Can we be real for a second? Do you sometimes wonder if you have what it takes to finish well? Can I tell you what will encourage you to finish well? The stories of men and women who finished well. The stories of people. Do you know what will help our teenagers resist what's around them and walk a different road? The stories that you have in your heart, that you have in your mind, the stories of Jesus, but also the stories of the way that Jesus came through for you. We can't swallow our stories and just expect that the next generation just will figure it out on their own. They need to hear about your moment with Jesus. They need to hear about the time that you were so desperate you didn't know what to do. And it's like sometimes we get tired or we think we have to have a new story. The best story is the oldest story. And it's the story that I hope I'll never stop telling. The story of Jesus coming to earth. But I also hope that I'll never grow tired of telling the story of how he changed my life. I hope that I'll never grow tired of talking about how I chose him from the time I was a little girl. But somehow along the way, I got twisted. And I thought I had to prove myself to him. I thought I had to be good enough. And despite the fact that I was very, very good, and hence very, very boring, but very, very good, I couldn't be good enough. I couldn't be good enough. And when I was 20 years old and I was dealing with depression and I was dealing with anxiety and I was dealing with all of these things, and back then you didn't say those words out loud, but that was very much what it was. And I was sitting on my bed at college crying again. Everything in my life was so perfect. I was engaged to my high school sweetheart, who I later married, just in case you're like, is it the same one? It is. You know you were thinking that, sir. I had great grades. I was headed to a great career. I had a family who loved me. But I was broken on the inside. I was dying on the inside. There was a hole that was so big on the inside. And I sat on my bed and I cried and I said, God, I just can't do it anymore. I just can't hold on anymore. And I remember seeing in my mind's eye, like, this picture of this cat kind of like holding on to the end of this yarn ball, you know. Back then, those were posters are what what memes are now. I'm just explaining to the people who are under 40, okay? What memes are now, those used to be posters, okay? They were physical, and people put them up in their office cubicles, okay? And really sarcastic secretaries had this one with a cat, and there was like a, and it said, like, you know, something sarcastic on it. And so I remember seeing that in my mind's eye. And I got mad, guys. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly how I feel. Thank you so much for the visual. I can't hold on anymore. And I can remember the Holy Spirit speaking so to my heart and saying, you don't have to hold on anymore. I never asked you to. I asked you to let go and to trust me. And my life was forever changed. Did I ever deal with depression or anxiety again? Yeah, but not the same way. Not the same way. It was never the same again. See, that's my story. And I never want to get tired of telling it. What's your story? And what story are you living in? Because it doesn't matter what your story is if it's not the story that you're living. Do you hear me? And you can tell the story that you're living in. You can tell it very easily. It's the story that you review. When you're alone in your car, or when you're hiding from your children in the bathroom, whatever, totally not a personal anecdote. What's the story that you review? What do you review? Do you review God's goodness and his kindness to you, or are you reviewing that conversation with that person? How that business deal didn't go the way that you wished. Every mistake you made, every mistake that your leader made, every mistake that, do you hear me? What are you reviewing? What are you remembering? What are you remembering? Because see, if you review it enough, you will remember it. What are you remembering? Some of us only remember the worst parts of our life because that's all we ever review. I watched this with my mom. My mom's dad was a pastor, and he was an evangelist. He was this amazing man, and he was preaching one day in the pulpit when she was 3 years old and dropped dead of a brain aneurysm. They lost everything. Her mom ended up marrying a man who was not the nicest man. We'll just put it that way. But growing up, do you know, I didn't know anything other than that my mother's life was a fairy tale. I thought she had the most beautiful upbringing in the world because what she reviewed, what she remembered, what she retold to me were the beautiful things. The times God showed up for her. The things that she and her mother would do for the community, the ministry that her mom taught her to have, even outside of having a church, outside of having any position, outside of having anything, her mom gave her the opportunity to minister. They'd go nursing home to nursing home. Anywhere that would let my mom sing God's praises. That's the story my mom told. It was a story of God's faithfulness because she understood that her story was a part of a bigger story. What are you reviewing? What are you remembering? What are you relating to? Like when you hear somebody else's story, what are the stories that you hear and you go, oh yeah, that's me. That's me. There's some stories that you need to stop relating to. That you need to stop identifying with. That you need to start saying, that is not me. That is not me anymore. I am not that person. That is not what defines my life. That is not, no, it's not me. I don't relate to that anymore. Then what are you retelling? What comes out of your mouth to people? What comes out of your mouth to people? What are the stories that you tell around your dinner table? What are the stories that your kids want to hear? When they say, tell me about when, what do you tell them? Would they even know the stories of God's faithfulness to you? What about the next generation? Are you sharing your story? You know, we all want to share a piece of our mind as though we have enough to go around. But what the world really needs is your story, your testimony. It's like that song right at the beginning. I heard it and I was like, I'm preaching on point today. This is my testimony from death to life. And this is the story that I choose to stand in more than any other story, is that through it all, God has been faithful to me. He's been faithful. He's been faithful. I'm going to ask the piano player to come out. He's been faithful. But what story are you living? What story are you living? And are you telling anyone your story? Because if you want to reset your point of view, then you need to reset your story. Because your story gains meaning in the context of his story. Your story gains meaning in the context of his story, because it's not just about the present moment. It's not just about the generations. It's not just about eternity. It's about all three. We just celebrated my dad's 70th birthday. A few of you know him. He's wonderful. He's done all of these incredible things. And that, I mean, he's like a musician. You just heard me sing. You know I'm not. But he's like all these things, okay? He's actually written 3 full musicals, hundreds of songs. He's a football player and coach. He's been a pastor. He's preached all over the world. He's done all these different things. And as we were standing up there honoring him, last Sunday night, all I could think about is, what is my legacy going to be? What is my legacy going to be? Because who I'm living like today is going to determine what my legacy will be like tomorrow. And the whole world wants you to concentrate on what's not in your control. The trajectory of society is not in your control. Exactly what happens on Pennsylvania Avenue is not in your control. But you can leave a legacy by caring about the next generation. You can leave a legacy by just faithfully teaching a room of 4-year-olds about the goodness of God. By showing up on Wednesday nights and mentoring teenagers and telling them about your story, about how God came through for you. Teaching 3rd graders his story so that they know all the stories of the Bible when they run up into problems later on. One of the most influential men in my life was a manager at a Brookshire's. He influenced hundreds upon hundreds of kids. They'd all know him on site. And I don't think at his funeral it'll be his Brookshire's customers, or even later on his car customers, that'll show up. I think it'll be those kids. And those kids' kids. Because he just chose to put on a funny costume and show up a couple times a month. And tell stories. And teach the next generation that God is faithful. It's not small. It's everything. It's sitting down to coffee with that young, overwhelmed mom and not giving her advice, but telling her about all the times you messed up and God just came through. It's caring for that young airwoman or airman who's far from home and just needs somebody to laugh at their stories and care about what's going on. But what story are we living in? Because if you're just living for your own happiness and your own fulfillment, then all of that stuff seems really stupid. But people who leave a legacy understand that God's the God of the present. He is, you know, I was thinking about the thing that has defined my dad's life has been the present, because he taught us that God was constantly moving and giving us an opportunity to make a difference in someone's life. So I became convinced. And at an early age, I became convinced that if I sat down on a plane, that God had arranged whoever I was going to sit next to for me to encourage them or help them or do something or tell them my story. Some of you are like, oh, that's a little radical. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Stay with me. Stay with me. But what if your present could matter? What if you started looking for him in the detours of life, because you understood that his story is all around us, and it's in us, and it's working through us, and that there's no throwaway moment because of him? What if you stopped judging your failures, your success, just based on you, and instead looked at the generation? What legacy are you leaving? Here's what I'll say. God's always doing more than what we think he's doing. Because this scripture where it says that you should tell the stories in the morning, in the evening, and all these different times, right? If you live that way, if you live telling his stories, it will transform your life. See, that's what they don't tell you about investing in the next generation. That's what they don't tell you about telling his stories to others. That's what they don't tell you about teaching his stories to others, is that just by doing that, it will transform you too, because his story will become the narrative of your life. It'll become the natural thing that comes out. You won't awkwardly be looking how to place it with strangers, but it'll become the language of those who are closest to you, around your own dinner table, around your own friends. Or, do you hear me? And that's what legacy looks like. It looks like two illiterate women who told their story long enough and to enough people that it survived to this day. But they were willing to share their story. Are you willing to share yours? I'm going to ask them to throw the lead acrostic up, because I actually think it's going to be helpful today. Now, our story empowers our reset. What's your story? What's your story? And then the application is for everybody. Are you ready? It's for everybody. Like, sometimes the application, like, you can kind of get out of, because you do the evaluation and you're like, no, I'm good, right? But this one's for everybody. Tell your story to somebody today. Tell your Jesus story. And if you don't have one, in a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity for this to be the beginning of your story. Can you stand with me? We have to tell the stories. We have to tell the stories of Jesus, the stories in the Bible, but also the stories in our own life. I want to encourage you today, seriously, to take the moment, apply it today. At lunch, just try it, because I'll tell you the truth. You may have known somebody for 15 years, but if you don't know, and they're a Christian, if you don't know the way that they came to Jesus, you really don't know them. I encourage you, at lunch, I double dog dare you, tell your story. Tell your story. Tell a story of God's faithfulness in your life. But tell your story. It may sound foreign in your mouth if you haven't done it, but I just encourage you to tell it until it just flows. To tell it everywhere and to anyone who will listen.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.